thank the Lord so much for saving me. Thank him for his many blessings and for saving grace.
The Lord is good.
Oh, God is a good God.
Yes, God's a good God.
There's a song that I hear on Carlton Pearson's album, and it's called All the Way. I'm going all the way.
Yeah, amen, yes.
Lord.
Yes.
And I made up my mind I'm going all the way. You know, I want to encourage everybody. I'm going to go tonight to a couple of scriptures. Someone told me, Shonda told me, you know, she was critiquing me, and she said that, which I don't mind, because I want to make sure that if I'm preaching, that people are understanding what I'm preaching. I don't have any problem with that. Let's look at John tonight, and about the... today is Friday. You know, the world calls it Good Friday. You know, there are a whole lot of religious people going to hell.
Yes,
Good Friday, and, you know, and it's Lent, and it's Easter Monday, and no, you're fine, Donna, you're fine. Easter Monday, all these things, you can hit the record button if you want. And it's so many different things and games that people play with God. You're going to go all the way with the Lord. I'm going to tell you tonight, when we come to Easter, there's one thing that I guarantee you that you see about Jesus, and that is that he made up his mind that he was going to go all the way. And he did it for a reason. Hold on a minute. Let me start my recorder. I might say something tonight that's worth recording. If not, I'll just dump it. It says record right there.
You just got to tell it where to record.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, there you go. Wherever it goes. I'm so glad tonight that I made up my mind about God. I made up my mind like Jesus.
Amen.
I made up my mind.
Yes.
My mind is made up.
Yes, amen.
You know, you can have a made up mind. The world can change your mind.
That's true.
Because you know what? I was telling Alan Smith today, I was thinking about Solomon for my Tuesday night when I go back to Bible study, Love Not the World. And of a truth, Solomon did not plan on leaving God. He married those women, first wife, and it wasn't Elder Russell. He wasn't planning on leaving God. What he called himself doing was helping God out by making treaties with all of Israel's enemies.
Yes.
But you know, you have to be careful how you even try to help God. You know, you reach out to some people, reach out to this one. You think you're reaching out to them, you don't realize it's really the devil reaching out to you.
Amen. That's right.
And Jesus, when we look in John tonight, look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, and this is to everyone, including me, and it's to no person in particular, and everybody in particular, including me, because I want everybody to know I can make a confession tonight, because the Lord set me free from drinking liquor, set me free from so many different things. When I went to the cross, I didn't just stop drinking, I died.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
You know, I didn't just give it up, I died. And yes, I mean, so complete was the death.
Yes.
That he doesn't leave me doing like alcoholics, trying to avoid this or avoid this. You got to remember, I quit drinking long. I quit drinking while I was, you know, when I was in Germany, to wine fest, beer fest, and everything else. And, you know, alcohol's everywhere and everything.
Yep.
But to this day, and this is the thing I want everybody to understand too, the devil doesn't stop trying. It's like me offering people chitlins. You know, they said a long time ago they didn't like them, don't be bothered with it, but you know what? I always offer them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And every time I go through a situation, I go through, you know, I'm going through a situation now. I don't have a whole lot of help. But the help I do have, the devil is tugging on.
Yes.
He's taking, you know, a lot of the people left. And it's a trial for me because God can stop it anytime he wants to.
Yes.
You don't want to be somebody that God stops.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
You want to be somebody that God sends.
Yes. Sends, yes, yes.
And what little help I do have, the devil's pulling on that. Mm-hmm. So I'm over there struggling on that organ and struggling on drums and doing all those and just, you know. And, yeah. And he thinks I'm going to be like Jericho. He thinks it's going to be like Jericho. He's just going to starve me out. But he can forgive
me. Yes, amen. That's right.
Because I made up my mind about God.
Yes, Yes.
And Jesus starts off, and at some point in time, he has 7,000 men plus men and women in his crowd. And sometimes he has 4,000 men plus women and children in his crowd. But by the time he gets ready to go up to Golgotha, ain't nobody but him.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
A few people standing on the sidelines, and they're, you know, cheering him. You know, there's some, not all of them are against him. A few of them are on his side. But you know, by now, they've gotten to a point where they can't do nothing. They can't do anything. And he has to make the last of this trip all by himself. At some point in time, people might, I'm not saying everybody, you'll have a time when there's nobody on your side on the earth. But somewhere along the line, you're going to have to make the trip by yourself.
Yes. Amen.
And you're going to have to make up your mind and say, well, what trip am I going to make? You have to make up the trip that's in this soul life, in this spirit life. You might have people all around you, like Jesus had people all around you. But inwardly, you need to know that my cross that I'm bearing, I have to bear it by myself.
Yes.
And the cross that you're bearing is not the cross of salvation.
No, no.
The cross is not salvation, it's the resurrection. The cross that you're bearing is the burden.
Yes.
That's the part that you die on. And, you know, and that's the cross that you're bearing that you're having such a hard time with. That's the world. That's the pull. And that's the struggle. And you have to make up your mind at some point in time that whatever was killing you and keeping you from God when you got saved, it will kill you and keep you from God if you go back
to
it.
That's right. Amen.
Whatever separated you from God when you came to God, it will separate you now. It doesn't metamorph into something where I couldn't have it then, but I can have it now.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. And not only so, if you die the death that you're supposed to die, you readily see that in it is death.
Yes.
Anything you die to, you readily see. Whatever, you know, when things make you sick, you ever eat something and make you sick?
Yes.
Eat some bad meat or do something and make you sick, you know not to ever eat that again. Yes. I don't care how it does, but you say it. Or just eat something that doesn't agree with you. Some things just don't agree with you.
I know, that's right.
Go back and try them again. They still don't agree with you. Then you say, well, you know, I'm not going to mess with that. That doesn't agree with me. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, before I get too far, let me give you a scripture. Matthew, the 16th chapter, everybody knows as well. He asked his disciples, whom the men say that I am, because he's going to the cross. And he has to, even though he knows that, and this is the burden that I have for people, and it's the scary part. Is that I'm concerned that not as many people love God as much as they think they do.
Yes.
And I'm concerned that even of those who claim they love God, you don't have the Holy Ghost like you claim you do. And I'm very much concerned, and I'm not saying you don't have the Spirit, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you're not as strong as you think.
Yeah, amen.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not unsaving anybody. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, the world is stronger than you. That's
yes, right. It is. Yes.
And you have to allow the Holy Ghost to lead you to carry you, because Jesus, let's say Jesus.
Jesus.
In Hebrews, the 9th chapter tells me that even Jesus made it through the cross by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yes.
It tells me, even when I read the Word of God in John, it's in Luke, and Jesus is praying in the garden. It tells me that even then, when he's crying out to God and he's saying, Lord, get me through this night because it's going to be a difficult night, he recognizes the weakness of human flesh.
Yes.
And it's never, I don't want to go, I'm changing my mind.
Yeah.
It is a matter of, and this is what's so dangerous about us. You, even when the devil is pulling, you never admit to yourself, it's never a part where I don't want to go to heaven, I changed my mind. Mm-hmm. No one, almost no one that I've ever heard of that went back into sin ever changed their mind and said, I don't want to go to heaven anymore, I'm changing my mind. It isn't that. Mm-hmm. It's that whatever was pulling and tugging won. Mm-hmm. It's the flesh that didn't want to go.
Right. Yes.
It's the flesh that wanted to stay. It's the soulish part of you that doesn't particularly want to go. And you never come to it, I don't want to go. Jesus is, you know, it's never more a matter of him saying, matter of fact, he knows he has to go. His mind is made up. He's saying, but you know what? I need some help with this, you know, when they start beating me and everything. I'm going to need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Because it's more pain than just me by myself can carry.
Yes.
It's a stronger load. David wrote one time. He said, Lord, he said, help me to with enemies that are too strong for me.
Yes,
you need
yes.
to know when to say to God, what I'm going through and what's pulling on me is too strong for me. And I need some help because I've made up my mind I must have eternal life. The only, you know, it's eternal life, you know, it's either heaven or hell. There is no purgatory, Valhalla. There is no limbo, no Xanadu. You know, there's none of these other places that people like to be, you know, that are in between. There's none of those. You either go to heaven, you're either with God throughout eternity, or you're away from God throughout eternity.
Amen.
So if you make up your mind and common sense dictates that you make up your mind you want to go to heaven, then you don't admit to yourself, okay, today I don't want to go to heaven. No, that's not the, you know, that's not the problem. That's why he said you must daily take up your cross. The cross is what's earthbound.
Yes.
And the cross is the burden. And the cross is the heavy part. And the cross is what you're bearing in your walk when you're going through. And he says to Peter, because Peter says to him, verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from us, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee. But he turned unto him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he knows that it's the devil coming at him. And he's not calling Peter the devil, but he knows that it's the devil coming through him. You know, when we're held up in things, and I know when I'm hindered, it is the devil, because it's never God. Yeah. And I'm not talking about being hindered by people. I know that when things come to me that hinder me all by myself.
Yes, yes.
You can get hindered all by yourself. Yes, you know, the devil can come out and hinder you all by yourself. You know, we like to blame, you know, I was coming, but they hindered me. Well, you let them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes things come. The bridge falls down. That's the devil. You can't get here, but it's the devil.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes you invite the devil in and make room for him to keep you from doing things.
Yes.
Some things we do, it might not in the end look like the devil, but we brought him in.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, we get into situations sometimes and circumstances, and you can say, well, you know, this wasn't me doing this. But when you really think about it, you know, like I got myself into something some years ago. And no matter what happened, how it was, the bottom line was, you know, I can blame all the people I want. I can say who did what or wherever they were and call it whatever you want to. But I should have never allowed the situation to come.
Yeah.
I should have realized when it showed up, it was the devil.
Yeah.
Should have.
Yeah.
Should have.
Yeah.
Solomon should have seen that those women weren't going to serve his God.
Yeah.
They were the devil.
That's right. Yes.
And he should have had enough faith in God to know that God was not going to let any of them defeat Israel.
Yes.
I don't need your help in causing Israel to stand.
Yeah.
I can do it all by myself. He should have known. You don't have to make treaties. God doesn't have to have a treaty.
Yeah, that's true.
Not with the devil.
Yeah.
You can't make a treaty with the devil. You can't compromise with the things that pull you away from God. When they showed up, they came to take you out of God.
Yep.
They will always want to take you out of God.
Yes.
Unless you can convince them to be in God themselves,
yes.
There'll always be something to take you away from God.
Amen. Yep.
So then, so Peter says to him, he says, far be it. And Jesus says to him, because Peter says, hey, you know what? I don't really want these things to change. I like the way the things are. And I don't see that there's any harm in going on the way we're going. That's the devil loves for me not to see any harm in doing something other than God. He loves to see me say, I don't see any harm in it.
Yeah.
I do. He does. You have to take it as Watchman Nee says. You have to examine what is of the world.
Yes.
And you have to say to it, how does this affect my stand in God?
Right,
where does this affect my stand in God?
Yes.
If it was sin last week, it is sin this week.
Yes, yes.
Where does it handle me in God? And Jesus looks at Peter and he says unto them, thou art an offense unto me. In other words, he lets the devil know, however you come, I don't like it.
And whatever you bring is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm offended by you. I don't care how pretty you look.
Yeah.
I don't care how you wrapped up. I don't care how much money you... I don't care how you show up. I'm offended that you had the audacity.
Yeah.
I'm the Son of God. And you showed up at this late hour after I've done all about done. This is the attitude we should have with the devil. How dare you come?
All right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to live holy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to live right. I'm on my way to heaven. And here you come.
Yeah.
And you know I love God.
Yeah.
And you know I'm a child of God. And I'm claiming to be in God. And you show up anyway. You don't love me at all.
Yeah.
You must be the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to stop me from going to heaven?
Yeah.
You're not going? And you're coming to stop me from going? And you claim you love me?
Yes, how about that? Yeah.
Here's Peter. I love you, Master. You can't do that.
Because
we want you here with us.
Yes.
You need to be here with us. And Jesus says unto him, he says, you're an offense unto me. He says, you know, I'm offended by you. I've preached all these sermons and talked and doing and healed, going through, and you've seen the power of God, and I've given you power, and you've gone out yourself. And you come to me telling me not to do the will of God when you just claimed I'm the Son of God. And you turn around and want me to disobey God. That cannot come from the Holy Ghost. It's got to come from the devil. You just said that holiness is right. You just said that the wages of sin is death. You just said that it's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. You just finished saying that if I'm born again, that I died to sin and I'm alive unto God.
Right.
You made a confession that Jesus Christ lives and he's the Son of God. And you confessed in the resurrection that God is raising from the dead. And you believe in the resurrection and you come trying to get me not to obey God. I'm offended.
All right. Yes. Yes.
Cannot be of the Holy Ghost.
No.
Because whatever comes of the Holy Ghost, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And if you come to me with something that takes me away from God, separates me from God, even offers me something from God, even try to give me a reason why I should not be in God, if I'm on my way to heaven and I know it and I know what you're saying is wrong, it's an offense to me.
Yes.
You are an offense to me.
Yes, yes.
And he said to Peter, he said to him, he says, because you savoreth in your soul, you savoreth, you like, you still love. It's what you savor.
Yes.
It's not just what you kind of like, it's what you love.
Yes.
You savoreth, you love when it comes down to it. And this is why you hear Bishop Smith, this is why you hear me preach so much about priorities. It's not that you can't have a car, but what's your priority?
Yes.
It's not that you can't have $1 million job, but where's your priority? It's not that you can't have the biggest house in town, but what's your priority?
Yes.
It's not that you can't have the world's greatest family, the world's greatest husband, the world's greatest wife, as the case may be, but where is your priority? At the top of that, it has to be God.
Yes.
It's not that you can't succeed and have 10 degrees or 1 million degrees. It doesn't matter, but as long as where is your priority?
Yes.
And he asked Peter, he says, you savoreth not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Your priority, even though you're not like the Pharisees and you're not saying, you know, we would believe on you, but you'll destroy our synagogue and our nation, and you already raised yourself above the Pharisees because, you know, shift your righteousness exceed the Pharisees, and you've already made up your mind that you exceed the Pharisees, and yet, your priority is still the world.
Yes.
So that it can rise up in you.
Yes.
And in the time when I need you most.
Yes.
In the time when I really need a friend. In the time when I really need someone to stay and say, thou art the Son of God. When you know, the devil likes to strip you of everybody around you. When you need them the most. Because he pushes and he pulls at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
The world pulls on you while he makes what you're in God be something that's heavy and a burden.
Yes.
So that it pushes you away. In the time when you really need to stand in God, the devil makes what you're in already look like is something you need to leave. And he presents you something that he that you think you want to go to. I told Paul the other day, I look at all these people going back into the world, and I look at what they're preaching, I look at everybody preaching, and everybody's got a word on the internet, and everybody's got a cute little word, and this and that, and I thank God for them. I applaud them really for preaching the Holy Ghost, but I'm going to tell you right now, at some point in time, somebody has to say, if you don't live holy, you're going to hell.
That's right. That's true.
And somebody, I don't care how cute you are, you say whatever you like, but you know the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
Somewhere along the line, this is, you know, it's in, and everybody's looking for, you know, I told Paul, it's like the little Asian man out at the gas station one day, and he and I were talking. I don't know how the subject came up. I don't know what we were talking about. We were talking about gas. We were talking about something. And the little Asian man said to me, yeah, you know, it's like the grass is always greener on the other side. I said, yeah, that's what they say. He said, but you still got to mow it.
Yeah.
You got that right.
That's yes,
right.
You do.
Yeah.
There's still some penalty to pay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said unto his disciples, he said, hey, listen, all of you. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, deny the part about, you know, because if I'm born again, deny. It's not pretend it's not there, not that kind of denial. Yeah. I said, you said something, you said, no, I didn't. Not that kind of denial. When he says, when deny himself, when in other words, he's saying, keep yourself from this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He says, you need to turn around and don't let yourself be goaded by this. And,
yes.
You know, he says, at some point in time, you have to make up your mind, you know, my way, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the end of which is death. You got to come to a point after a while if you're going to grow in God. I started off by telling you how the Lord delivered me from drinking liquor. You know what? In this day and time, alcohol is not a temptation to me in any form.
Yeah.
From hard cider all the way up to 200 proof grain alcohol. It's just not something. I don't cruise ship anyplace else. I don't go through any trials about people drinking all around. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, why? Because you're so strong. Because the Lord delivered me.
Because the Lord delivered me.
And yet, there's not a time that I don't feel bad. I don't feel like the people, you know, like I'm wrong or whatever. There's not a time that I don't go through that the devil doesn't step up to me and say, you know, you feel better with a drink. and you dismiss it
yes,
so quickly.
Right, yes.
But he doesn't stop.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
And it's become, you know, it's easy for me because the Holy Ghost dwells in me and the purging was so complete. Matter of fact, you know, God delivered me from that so completely. There's so many other things that I wish he had delivered me from as completely as that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I pray and ask him, Lord, deliver me from such and such the way you delivered me from that.
Yeah.
And in those things, he says, no, you have to decide yourself. My grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
Not going to deliver you from that. You're going to have to resist. You're going to have to go through. But yet, if I sit down and think about it, wow, you know, gosh, this is really rough and this is really difficult and this is really that. The first thing the devil says, you want to drink? So that's why you ought not have alcohol in your house. I have some alcohol in my house. There's a whole great big half gallon of white wine sitting up on the counter that they use when they cook, that Paul and Sean use, and I didn't say cooking wine either.
No.
It's regular wine. They use it when they make soup or when they make these different dishes that call for wine that you burn off and do all that. Sitting up there.
Yeah.
Been there for a while. Last one, sit there until it turned to whatever it is. I told you the Lord delivered me. When the Lord delivers you, you don't fight what he delivers you from.
Yeah.
You don't fight a battle over. You have to willingly. You got to go in there.
Yes.
And get it.
Yes, you do.
And pour yourself one.
Yes.
That's what you have to do. You have to turn yourself around. And then you go back to what you died from.
Yes.
I didn't say you resurrect what you died from because you truly died.
Yes.
You go die again.
Yes.
You go from life into death as opposed from death into life.
Right.
And he says to him in this Easter season, this season, because it's about resurrection, and he's talking about that. He says, Peter, it's not only me. He says, I came through all this time, and I had to go through with my mother and my brothers trying to stop me and all the people. I had to almost be stoned. I had to be talked about. I had to do all these things, and the worst is yet to come.
Yeah.
He says, in all these things, he says, but I have a cross to bear.
Yes.
And I have a way that I must go. In other words, he says, and this is the life that I'm carrying as I'm going into death and the things that are happening. And by the time, Jesus makes it to Golgotha, by the time he makes it to the hill, he is bloody and bruised, and he is torn, and he's shredded. And I got news for you. In the spirit, by the time you make it to God, that's how you look.
Beat up.
But you forget when the Lord saved you, and when you're resurrected and your body is healed and you're looking good and you can get a prayer through and you can sense the Holy Ghost and the burdens of sin have left you because you've died to it and now you're resurrected and now you're feeling renewed and you're feeling refreshed by the Holy Ghost and you're on the right path and heaven is nice and it's a sunny day and you're on your way, you forget how badly you were beaten. All night long. You forgot how they plucked your beard out of your head. You forgot how the world spat on you. You forgot how the devil sit down and talked about you and said, if you're really in God. You forgot how the devil came about you and said, hey, why don't you come down and let's talk about it. You forgot how the devil came along and said to you, hey, do you really want to go through with this? You forgot how the devil said, you ain't got to do all that. Hey, listen. I'm one of the preachers who says sometimes that some of the things we do traditionally and customs-wise, you might hear me say some of the things we do, we don't have to do all that, but I'm like, but you ain't going to never hear me say you don't have to live right.
That's right. Amen.
You're never going to hear me say you're not going to have to worship God. You're not going to have to come to the house of God. You're not going to have to pray. You're not going to have to lift up holy hands. Matter of fact, the reason why you won't ever hear me say that is because people, if you'll stay on track with God, you know yourself that's what you need to do. Therein is your refreshing. You need to pray until you speak in tongues because it washes and cleanses and refreshes. And if you're not praying in tongues, that's the very first sign that you're too close to the world. That's the first one to come out. Your tongues dry up. And he said, for whosoever will, he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, his crusade, towards death. His crusade, his cross that he's carrying, his daily march, his resistance to the world, his ongoing, his love of God. You got to take it up and follow him. So what's on your cross? By the time Jesus gets to Calvary, he's got all my sins.
Amen.
Got all your sins.
Praise the Lord.
So what's on my cross? Well, my cross isn't carrying your sins. I don't have that. So what's on your cross, Bishop Smith? My cross is coming to church and people not showing up. You know why? You say, why is that a cross? Because the first thing the devil says to me is, how long are you going to do that? My cross is coming in here and not being able to play bass but playing drums and praying every day for the Lord to send us drum and not coming. The devil comes and says, how long are you going to do that? My cross is struggling on the organ when I pray for other keyboard players and other people to come in, and the devil says to me, how long are you going to do that? All the things that the world brings that are a burden, that are an offense, how long are you going to keep doing that? What are you going to keep doing that? And I keep saying, until the Lord says so. Until the Lord says so, because you know what? One of these days there comes a resurrection.
Yes,
there does. There comes a fix.
Victory.
God will give victory. I'm not giving up on God because you know what it is? It's not just the end of, you know, the end of God's hand in my life is not just people coming to my church, coming in this church. The end of God's hand in my life is my victory in Christ Jesus. There is victory.
Amen.
There is a victory. I wrote something down today. I'm not in God to suffer and die. I'm in God to conquer and to live. I'm not in here to suffer and die. I'm in here to conquer and live. I know what John says. The world likes to remind us of what we do in God. And the world not having the Holy Ghost nor the wisdom that comes from above, not knowing Jesus. You know, and that's the thing that's so grievous to God when we listen to the world. You listen to the world tell you about somebody they don't know. You're listening to them explain why you should have somebody they don't know. You're listening to them tell you why you should not love somebody they don't know. You know, if you're engaged to a man and I say, you ought not marry that man, the first thing you'll say to me is, but you don't know him.
That's right.
And rightly so. Are you engaged to a woman? You ain't got no business marrying her. So why not? Hey, she don't look like she, you know, but you don't know her.
Yeah.
You should tell the world when they tell you to come out of God, but you don't know God.
Yes.
That's right. You don't know the love he's given me. You don't know the deliverance that he's given me. You don't know the way he's brought you. When I was sick, nigh unto death, the Lord brought me out. When I had a spot, God removed me. When I was going through, the Lord saw me. It's the Lord who picked me up. It's the Lord. You don't know that. Well, I think he's doing all right. But you don't know God.
Amen.
You don't know the hope that he gives so that I don't need to drink. You don't know the hope that he gives so I don't need drugs. You don't know the hope that he gives so I don't have to call the crisis hotline because I'm about to kill my fools up. You don't know. You don't know where he brought me from. You don't know the joy that he's given me and the peace that he's given me. And you dare to tell me why I need to let him go? And you don't know. And obviously you don't know the end. David said, I was looking at him one time, and he said in Psalms 73, he says, when I looked at all the world and all these people, they had all the money, they had all the houses, they were healthy because they had all the good drugs, they had everything they needed, they had the best doctors, they had the best of everything, and I thought to myself, and here I am going to church, and they're living better than me. He says, but when I came to the house of God, I found out that wasn't true. I found out they have all the money, they got some of everything, but they ain't living as well as I'm living. They don't have the hope I have. They don't have the joy I have. They don't have the peace I have. They don't have the future that I have.
That's right. They don't have the future that I have.
Jesus made up his mind. He says, you know, if you're going to do the will of God, you have a cross too. Your cross is your ministry. Your cross is your life. Your cross is all that you carry on the earth.
Yes.
So you have to pick yours up and go with me. Follow me.
Yes.
He says, and then he goes, let me finish this up. My last scripture is John 12 and 27. And I like the way he put it. John 12 and 27. Yeah, that's it. Jesus is in the garden. And he says in this in 23, and the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He says, unless you die, you'll just drive one of the way. He says, you won't bring forth any fruit. In other words, you won't do anything to the glory of God.
Amen.
You won't do anything that glorifies God. Save souls, worship God. You won't do anything that glorifies God. And he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. In other words, if you love the life you have outside of God, you're going to lose it. If you're enamored with the life that you have outside of God, you're going to die. And not just physical death, but spiritual death and eternal death. If you love that life that you have so much that you won't give it to God, you're going to lose it. He says, if you love yourself in sin, love the ravages of sin and the life you now have, you're going to lose it. If you love the life you have without God, you're going to lose it. And he that hateth this life in this world, hated his life in this world, shall keep it to eternal life. That's another thing we got to learn. It's something the Holy Ghost has to give you. You got to get to a point where you don't like this life in the world. Not just, not just it's all right and I'm on it. No, you have to get to a point where you don't like this life in the world. I have the age. You know, I'm not like some people. I can look on the screen and see some of you out there who told me you've been saved all your life and you've been, and I believe you, and you've always been just, I believe you, I really do. And you probably have been in the dumpsters and dives I've been in, and you haven't been in the situations I've been in. You know, for me, I'm not one of these people. Like I look at Dr. Lucky, I look at a lot of people who've been in church all their life, unless they keep some dark secret. It just be, I look at Elder Jenkins who says she's been in church all her life. I don't doubt it, and I have nothing against it. I wish I was, but that's not my testimony. You know, for me, it's a praying way to stay in God. It's a struggle. My mind will go everywhere. If I don't fear God, the Holy Ghost don't keep me in check, I'll go wild. I'm not one of those people who can go for periods of time and just not worry about it. You know, like there's some of us that the devil fights us a lot, has always fought us.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not Jesus, but if you look at Jesus, the devil fought Jesus every day.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
He knew what he was going to do in God and why he had God. Some of us, you need to come to it. You might be one of them people. Some people can just smoothly go along and just float along on whatever, you know, because they're not, you know, they may or may not be doing anything else. But some of us that God has put his love on and put his hands on, the devil fights you every day.
Yes, yes.
Friends show up out of nowhere, pull you out of God. Things just come.
Yes.
And you have to make up your mind. You got to first make up your mind, Jesus lives. This is why I wake up in the morning and I say to myself, I thank you. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Jesus. I say, glory to God. And I'm laying there in bed and I'm still mumbling to myself and I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, wash me and cleanse me. And thank you for your goodness. I come to prayer and one of the first things I say is, Lord, I know you live.
Yes.
I know Jesus lives. Yes. He's alive. Yes. Sometimes I'm riding down the highway and I'm saying to myself, God, I know you are God. I know heaven is real.
Yes.
I'm not trying to convince myself. I'm restating what I already know. I say to myself sometimes when I'm going through, you know, some distressing moments or something, I have to say, but God is God.
God is God.
And I'm going to be all right. The Lord is on my side when the devil is really pushing him and doing it. I'm not different. No, I ain't running nowhere. I live holy. I live a good life.
Yes.
I live a holier, purer life than some of the people you know.
Yes,
I do.
Yeah.
And you look up to them too, and I live holier than they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one thing, because I know God is God. You know why? You say, why you live holy? Because I don't live a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
I do not. I'm honest in all I do. He says this, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall all my servants be. And if any man serve him, will my Father honor. Now, 27, and this is my last one. My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. He said, at this particular time, and then God says, I have glorified and I will. This is where he goes into the next few verses, all the way down to 32. He says, if I be lifted up, in other words, not only on the cross, but if I be exalted, I'll draw men unto me. You know, when you go through some things and you're ready to tell the Lord, Lord, you know what? I served you and I worshiped you, and here I sit. Here I am. This ain't working. Church empty. Got 400 seats in them. 397 of them empty. Here I am.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to say at this particular time? I done had enough? No.
No.
I came in here to glorify God. That's what I'm going to do.
Yes,
yes. The Lord saved me.
Yes.
God has kept his part of the bargain.
Yes, yes.
God has given me everlasting life.
Amen.
God is keeping his part of the bargain.
Amen.
God is keeping me.
Yes.
He's keeping his part of the bargain.
Yes.
God has blessed me. He's keeping his part of the bargain.
Amen.
I have a covenant with God.
Yeah, yes.
That if I will believe in him and trust in him, he'll save me and he'll give me everlasting life. God made a covenant with me.
Yes.
You hear people talking about making covenant? I made a covenant with God.
Yes.
And he promised if I would love him, if I would stay with him, he'd give me the Holy Ghost to lead me and guide me, because he knew I couldn't do it by myself.
Yes. Amen.
I have a covenant with God. That if I would be in God, whenever I am wrong, if I'll confess my sins and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm wrong today and I need help, God will wash me. And God will cleanse me. I don't have to bring any blood. God supplies the blood. I don't have to supply the Holy Ghost. God supplies the Holy Ghost. I have a covenant with God. So that when the world shows up, if I will say to the world, I can't go with you because I'm going with God, the Lord will keep me and sustain me. Jesus told them, when he told them in the garden, he says, what am I supposed to say when it's time for me to go to the cross? I can't go today. He said, that's the reason why I'm here.
Yes, yes. Yeah, amen.
That's the whole point.
Yes.
Why do I need the Holy Ghost? Jesus made it all the way to the cross. It wasn't because of the people, because Peter wasn't helping enough to heal. Judas had already hung his fool self. And, yes, you can say, well, you call Judas a fool. Yes, if you hang yourself, you are a fool.
Yes,
you are. Can't get any more fool foolish than that. About the only thing close to it is if you leave God and go back into sin.
Yeah.
That's pretty foolish too. Can't get too much further away from that. You know, you change your mind and let the little world draw you back. You know, that's the thing I loved about Jesus so much, Elder Russell. Jesus made the point. He said the prince of this world cometh, but he had nothing in me. He said, you know, you need to make up your mind. When the devil comes, he doesn't have anything in me.
Yes.
He doesn't have anything on me.
Yes.
He don't have anything in me.
Yes.
And he don't have anything I want.
Anything that I want. Yes.
He says, the prince of this world cometh. He says, but he has nothing in me.
Yes.
He says, you can be a good chip because I've already overcome everything he got.
Yes.
When the Lord saved me, you know, it took some time, but in time, I overcame everything he had. You know,
yes.
You got to say when people come, now, what are you bringing me? Why are you here? If you didn't come to bring the good news and the good tidings of God, what's your point?
Yes. Amen. God is good.
Chord. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Thank you that you are.
Thank you.
Oh, you said you're. your name is I am. I just thank you that you are. I thank you that you are.
Yes.
I thank you that there is a God. I thank you that you exist. Lord, I just thank you for being God. I just thank you that you are. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. Lord, who dwells in me, oh God. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God. Spirit of truth. Lord, I pray, Lord, let it run all through me and all over me, oh God. Lord, I just want to be overwhelmed by him, oh Lord. Lord, all that I am, Lord, I commit unto thee, oh God. Lord, and open to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I desire to love him more, to know him more. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, tonight, Lord, I ask you once again, Lord, heal the sick, Lord. Lord, I mentioned Elder Rogers. Lord, you're a way maker. You're a healer. You're a deliverer, oh God. Lord, you wore all those stripes on your back, Lord, for our healing, Lord. Let those stripes stand by Elder Rogers and all those who are sick, oh God, and make her all way whole, oh God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, mine is made up, but my heart is fixed, oh God. I'll let no one turn me around, oh Lord. Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray that you bless the people of God. Stand with them. Stand between them and the enemy, Lord, who seeks to turn around. Lord, be a pillar cloud by day, a pillar fire by night between us and the devil, oh God. And all that the devil would send, Lord, put to flight the army of the alien. Lord, you said in your word, Lord, you bless those that bless us and curse those that curse us. Lord, any person who comes to turn us away from God seeks to curse us. Lord, any person, anything that seeks to turn us away from God seeks to curse us, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, if they won't let you turn around, Lord, you will put it to you. Lord, bless all those who stand with us and encourage us in God and make a way in God. Bless those, Lord, who you are able to use to help us, oh God. See us along our way, oh Lord. Lord, stand with all those, Lord, who stand on our side, oh God. Lord, that you used to keep us in the way, Lord, that we would have everlasting life. Lord, stand tonight, Lord, and bless them, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless our churches. Add to them, Lord. Lord, drive the devil out. Lord, break the yoke and pull down the wall, Lord, that he has together. Lord, I pray, Lord, open the doors wide that many women will come in, Lord, and we will give them the gospel. Lord, meet them with the abundance of the Holy Ghost, oh God, in every way. Lord, I pray, Lord, meet them with the Holy Ghost's mind, the Holy Ghost's spirit. Lord, meet them, I pray, Lord, with the Holy Ghost's wisdom and the Holy Ghost's power, oh God. All that is of the Holy Ghost, Lord, meet them, oh God. Overwhelm their spirits, oh God. Come in and save them, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, baptize them into the death of Jesus Christ, into his powerful burial. And Lord, I pray, Lord, they can partake of his powerful resurrection anew and be new, oh God. Lord, all those, Lord, who claim you, Lord, whose names in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, they're in a fight tonight, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you do for them like you did for Jesus in the garden. Lord, send your angels. Lord, strengthen them, minister them tonight. Lord, send the Holy Ghost, Lord. Build them up tonight, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, drive away the evil one and all that he would stand. Lord, put to flight the devil and his war tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, let God arise. Let the enemy be scattered, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray to fill up tonight. Let the devil be terrified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we glorify your name. And Lord, every one of us, Lord, strengthen us with might by your spirit in the enemy. Lord, strengthen us. Fill us afresh with your spirit. Lord, renew us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, breathe on us. Lord, do for us like you did for the disciples. Lord, breathe on us. Come in, O God, and breathe on us. Let the breath of the Lord now breathe on. Let it breathe on me. disciples have been the most difficult days in their life. They've been the most disappointing days in life. Have you had any disappointments? Y'all had any disappointment lately? Anybody had a disappointment? Those last 3 days have been the most disappointing days in their life. In their life and in themselves. And Jesus comes in and doesn't even begin to say anything's wrong with them. He just tells them, you just need the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just need the Holy Ghost to come in and wash you. Wash you all over again. Lift you all over again. Everybody say, come in, Lord.
Come in, Lord.
Tell the Holy Ghost to come in.
Come in, Lord.
And refresh you.
Be refreshed.
In Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand tonight. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Thank God for His precious Son, Jesus Christ. I love this season. There's so much to say about Christ's resurrection and all that He went through. And it is our life. We're baptized. I know you're not so many of us who are baptized into Christ or baptized into His death.
Yes.
Like as we're baptized into His death, we're baptized into His resurrection.
Yes.
You know, there's so much about it. You know, and Paul talks about it in every letter he writes and every scripture we read. You just can't get away from it. You can't do without it. And if you will let it become your life and not just something you talk about,
yes,
then the Lord is able to keep you. So I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. We'll be here in promise.